Father, we thank you for your wonderful presence. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for your blessings, for your leadership, your guidance. Trust, O God, that our hearts will be prepared to worship you, to love you, to serve you. And dear God, the reality and responsibility of Christian living and the pleasure of our Heavenly Father as to his praise and honor and glory. Lord, we pray that it be magnified in our lives. In Jesus' name. We had told Brother Taylor, the brethren, that we would believe for the $1,000. We'd take care of it. And, of course, we gave $25 in the offering up in Brother Cartridge's office up there today when they wanted to get up to $500. But I felt like if we couldn't get to $35, well, we'd just give it to. I found that the less I give, the less I'm blessed. The more I give, the more I'm blessed. In discovering that, I found out the best thing I could do was give everything that I had, everything I could get, everything that I could ever obtain unto. So I did. I gave my wife and my children and myself and my substance and everything I could get a hold of and everything I've ever got a hold of. I still just give it all to the Lord. And he gives me back so much till I don't have a container big enough to receive it. As I say so often, the Bible said, "Try me herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, and see if I'll not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing you'll not be able to receive." That is to say, you will have to share it with others. And we've shared with hundreds of people and still sharing. Still sharing. Because we have to look for a place to give because our cup runs over. All of it won't stay in the cup and it'll be spilt if we don't do something with it. I remember a vision I had in the state of Ohio years ago. I was preaching in Cincinnati, been fasting and seeking the Lord, and I saw where I spilt. The Lord had given to me a huge container. It was oh so big, and it was filled with milk. Then he'd given me another huge container, huge vats, great big round vats. They reached way out. And this one was filled with a substance like meat or a ground up meat. And he showed me a long table, many little containers on the table that we had to fill up to feed the multitudes. And I looked, and I saw people coming just like birds coming in from every direction of the heavens, just coming in like that. And it was all kind of people with all kind of talents. And they were coming to that supper. And I remember spilling some of the milk that I was to put on that table because I was struggling to do it by myself. And the Lord showed me that I had to have help. And at that time, Betty and I was just moving along by ourselves. And he showed me that I had to have help. So he gave me the vision of establishing Bethlehem, and we established Bethlehem. And since that time, we've received some help. Not all are laborers. The laborers are few. A lot of people, few laborers, not very many laborers. But the Bible said, "He that laboreth receiveth wages unto eternal life. For the laborer is worthy of his hire." Hire them and put them in the vineyard, the Bible tells us, taking the oversight over the flock of God. Put them in the vineyard, and then God will pay them at the end of the day. It's good to be here and have a chance to do something for Christ. That's excellent. About 800 and something dollars. Okay. Over $800, for which we thank you. Appreciate the blessings of the Lord. And it's not that we meet the needs. We do like the people with the fishes and the loaves. We just get our little bit together and then we pray and we let him multiply the fishes and the loaves. Because it takes tens of thousands of dollars to move on for Christ. But nevertheless, whatever we can do with our little bit, we get it together, we put it into his hands. And we ask him to bless it, and he always multiplies the fishes and the loaves. As it has been said, if I stopped to count the legs as like a centipede, I wouldn't know which one to move the next. You know, the next move. It's been said that if a centipede stopped to count his legs, he'd get so mixed up he wouldn't know which one to move next. And the moves that I make for God is like that. I make so many moves that if I tried to count them as to see which was the right one and what God was most interested in or what I could afford and couldn't afford, I'd probably never make another move for God. So I just go on by faith and do what needs to be done. That's the way to do it, and that works. A lot of people would say, well, I don't think that would work. It doesn't work if you try to do it in your own strength and of your own ability. But I challenge any man to try it in Christ. And if it doesn't work, I'll pay his way. Any man that will live right before God and put his money to the exchanges or his talents, if God doesn't give him usury, then I'll pay his way, and I'll gladly pay his way. People who give to God never go lacking. Never. When I was out on the field for a few times, I missed a meal or two. Didn't really have to, but to be able to do what I wanted to do for God, I was in a position that it was miss the meal or do something that would have been natural. And then I thought, well, am I lacking in something? And then I thought, no, I'm not lacking. I need a good fast. And if I didn't have to do without a little bit, I'd be lacking in something. So sometimes if we don't get bread, we feel like we're lacking and we're short. But Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So sometimes when we do get bread, that's when we're lacking, in that we don't exercise ourselves unto godliness. But the Lord always took care of me. I've never been on the field in any place at any time, whether in the foreign countries or whatever. But what I couldn't get food, and that's sufficient food for me and my family. So we're grateful. Grateful to be at Bethlehem. Grateful to have the buildings and the places that God has provided for us. Whereas we could have had three times this many buildings, we've had time to build them, and we've had the faith to do it with, and no problem. But the Lord stopped me on the buildings a number of years back and showed me he wanted me to hold it right there, and I did. And it's just been in the last little bit that we started on one over in the back of the multipurpose building. And we do intend to build some more if Jesus tarries, if that's his program and plan. It's a number of buildings I'd like to have. As a matter of fact, I need, according to my speculation, I'll put it that way, I need quite a number of buildings, big buildings. As a matter of fact, I'd love to have a tabernacle right here that we could use during the time of camp meeting and during the time of our annual or semi-annual gatherings. Be nice to have a tabernacle, just an open-air tabernacle. Whereas if the Lord tarries, we'll probably build one. I've thought about it a number of times, and as far as I know, we're going to build one. But we're just going to wait, see if that's his plan and his program. It's good to be a Christian. I was just telling my wife today, I said, I just can't sit still and do nothing for God. I just can't do that. I go start raving crazy. I want to do something for God. I want to do something for God in the morning. I want to do something for God during the day. I want to do something for God during the night. I want to do something for God home and abroad. I want to be moving for God all the time, thinking on God all the time, praising God all the time, loving God all the time, and just be wrapped up in Jesus all my life. That's the only happiness I see. All other things is just a waste of time. Anything you do outside of that, as I said this morning, is nothing more than a waste of time. If you're not applying yourself to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus, then you're wasting your time. If you're laboring to make money, to build, to buy, to have, that is for yourself, then you're wasting your time. If you gain your life, then you lose it by being placed in a hole. You give to God your life and your substance, then you gain your life unto eternal life. So I like being a Christian. It's like a little song somebody wrote one time. Others tried to tell me all that I'd have to give up and the friends I'd lose if I tried to serve God. But as the songwriter said, I like the Christian life. We come together tonight to worship the Lord, talk about the things of God. Never know what we're going to do. We never know what we're going to say. In the morning, I really like the morning service. Usually people are not fatigued and they're hungry. They're thirsty and they're trying to get a hold of spiritual things. At night, as a rule, I don't feel that atmosphere. It's hardly ever that we come into a church here or anywhere else at night that you feel that atmosphere. It's more or less an evangelistic service at night, as to clap your hands and sing and try to get people revived, as to holler and scream at them through the foolishness of preaching that you might get men saved. But in the morning services and in some of the services that God specially anoints in, heaven comes down and everything becomes unveiled and we move into the other world, into the great, wonderful world of treasure. And we have a chance to gather treasures, put them into our hope chest toward the great marriage of the Son of God and the bride. So when we come together, especially at night, we don't really know just what we'll say. It depends on how that people receive. Let's turn over to St. Matthew's. Jesus preaching, chapter 21, 17th verse. And he left them and went out of the city into Bethany, and he lodged there. Now in the morning as he returned into the city, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only. And said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforward forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Here that's Matthew's chapter 21. And in the 21st verse, 21:21 Matthew's, it tells us what we can do if we believe. Okay, let's turn to Mark over in the book of Mark. I believe it's 11:22. And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus, answering, saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand, pray and forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Now, if you'll notice, this is the same, appears to be the same event. It says in the 12th verse, and on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. It says in Matthew's, and he left them and went out of the city into Bethany, and he lodged there. Now in the morning, As he returned into the city, he hungered. It's obviously the same event. But one of these writers expressed this in his terminology of expression. Another one of the writers expresses it in his terminology of expression. Both of them apparently saw this thing take place, and when they went to relate it in their writings as to the book of Mark or the book of Matthew, when they went to relate it, they related it according to their terminology of speech and according to the way they saw it and understood it. And it's pretty close together as to the word expression. But there is some things that one of the writers expressed that the other did not express. And there is some that it was vice versa as to his expression in some things. But whatever it is that Matthew is saying, if ye have faith and doubt not, and that which Mark is saying, have faith in God, whatever this is, he says, and shall not doubt in his heart. And one says, if ye have faith and doubt not. That helps us to understand something. If ye believe without wavering, without doubting. But then the other doesn't give it just like that. He clarifies it even more. He says, and be thou cast into the sea and shall not doubt in his heart. One said, doubt not. He tells us what we should do or what should be in our believing. The other tells us the place of the believing. And this is what I like about the expression of Mark. Mark tells us that if we doubt not in our heart. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm always doubting in my head. My head seems to be always doubting. No matter what, it always doubts. It doubts people. It doubts things. I can have a desire of heart and want something, and my head will doubt that I'll ever get it to my satisfaction. And somebody can tell me that they love the Lord and want to live right, but my head doubts whether or not they're straight. And I can make a deal with somebody out yonder in the world when I go to buy something, and my head will doubt whether or not he's on the level with me, or if he's going to pull something over on me, it'll begin to talk to me about it. So my head is forever doubting. There's no way to stop your head from doubting. Your head is forever doubting. And not only that, but your head, so far as your mind up here, you know, you are always running into problems. So far as the wrong thoughts, there is not a man living, nor has ever lived, nor shall ever live, aside from the Lord Jesus Christ. But what his mind is not a conglomeration of a mess all through his entire life. And that is to say that there's always thoughts coming to his mind. Women are the same way. The Bible said God looked down from heaven, and he saw that man's thoughts was continually evil. Not partially evil, not sometimes evil, but the Bible says that their thoughts were continually evil. That is, from early morning to night, you ladies, that's all you ever have is evil thoughts. You men, that's all you ever have is evil thoughts. From early morning until late at night, your thoughts are continually evil from your first birth. You never stop. You may look at each other as though they're real pure. You know, you look at your wife as though she's real pure, and she looks at you as though you're real pure, but both of you are wretched. The Bible teaches that from the first birth, they are wretched. And this is why God got upset with the Jews. The Jews was the kind of people that they accredited to themselves that they were some virtuous, pure, God-loving, God-fearing nation, when the Bible said they were wretched, blind, and couldn't see, and God cut them off. While they pointed their finger at the Gentiles, and they blamed the Gentiles to the extent they said they are dogs, they're a bunch of sinners. But God, when He came to save, He rejected those that were supposed to be so holy and went to them but did not profess anything at all, and took Himself a bride from among them that was supposed to be the wretched people. See, the reason that He did that was to confound the people, to let them know that there is no such thing as righteousness in a human being. That there has never lived a human being that was righteous. There is no such thing as righteousness in the life of a human being. No such thing. Even Jesus Himself as a man, when they came to Him, they said, "Good Master." He said, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but God." That is, I'm a man, and I'm living as a man in your sight. I am a man. Why call any human being good? He said, "The spirit is good. There is nothing good about the flesh." And even Jesus, who truthfully was the spirit made flesh, without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish, so that God would get the glory and people would not feel that any human being could be righteous, He was made sin in the sight of mankind, condemned and placed at Calvary to say that no flesh can be righteous in the sight of God. No flesh shall be justified in the sight of God. Why callest thou me good? He said, "There is none good but God." So then by this we see that if we're going to get to heaven, that fasting isn't going to get us to heaven. That praying isn't going to get us to heaven. It doesn't matter how much you fast and pray. You're just as dirty as you was when you first started. It doesn't matter how much you give. You're still just as dirty as you was when you first started. But it is a true fact that if we are willing to fast and willing to pray and willing to give, then the Bible said, "Behold, all things are clean unto you, in that God gives us of His cleanliness, and God accredits unto us the righteousness of the Son of God, because we try to conform to His desire and to His way." So then I say again, I like the way that Mark expresses that thing, because Mark says to you and I that if we can believe and not doubt in our heart, and the secret of righteousness is by faith with God, in that God says that faith was imputed unto Abraham as righteousness, and that our faith in God is imputed unto us as righteousness. Therefore, by the faith of Jesus Christ, we're all brothers and sisters. We're all clean. Without that faith, we're all dirty and we're all filthy and all of us in the scum of the world. That's why the Bible speaks of a generation in the end time, and it says that they are filthy and they are dirty. In the end time, they are filthy and they are dirty, they are wretched, they're blind, and they're naked, and they say that they're religious, and they say that they're rich, and they say that they have all of these things, but the Bible says that they are wretched, they're blind, and they're naked. So then, it's shocking to realize that in this congregation right here, there are adulterers sitting here. There are fornicators sitting here. There are unclean people, even in this congregation to which I'm speaking right now. Someone would say, "Well, Brother Pike, you don't really know that." Yes, I do know that, because I discern that through the Spirit. And not only do I discern it through the Spirit, but eventually it gets around to me and it's told to me by the individual that's guilty, or somebody that knows for sure that the individual is guilty. So then I know for sure in your midst and in your congregation are those that are adulterers and unclean people. And I have mentioned some of these things sometimes to my companion or to some brother that's trustworthy, to try to help them to understand in a way that we can understand and help the people. You know, and it's shocking, because sometimes people that you mention those things to concerning people, they would say, "My God, that can't be, Brother Pike." But it is. It is. It is. There's men and women that are sitting here that are adulterers and fornicators and liars. And there are those that are cheating on their husbands and on their wives. There are those that have been unclean. But see, when you come to God, if you really give your heart to God, if you really turn to God, if you really get out of the world, if you really mean business, God will wash you in His blood. God will cleanse you by His understanding, and God will make you whole. And you can be clean and holy and godly and upright if you continue to walk with Christ. Not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. You can't be going out yonder and coming back. And going out yonder and coming back as some of you are doing. You can't do that. The preacher might preach good things to you. And he might tell you pretty tales. But I want you to know from this preacher that you are going to burn in the lake of fire. You that are running out there and committing adultery and doing those unclean things and running back to the church for a few months and then back out there, you are going to hell. There's no way that you can escape hell. Jesus said, how can you escape the damnation of hell in doing those things? There's no way that you can get in. A preacher may tell you that you can get in, and somebody may tell you that it's going to be all right, but Brother Pike is telling you, in the name of the Lord, you're going to hell. Jesus preached one time, and he said, Pharisees and scribes, he said, you hypocrites. And then he preached a little farther, and he said, Pharisees and scribes, he said, you hypocrites. And then he went a little farther, and he preached, he said, you Pharisees and scribes, you're hypocrites. And he went on about 5 to 7 times, or I don't know how many times, that the Bible records it in one sermon that he preached. Over and over, he said, Pharisees, scribes, you hypocrites. See, and when they come to Jesus, they would say, good master, Jesus said to them, he said, you hypocrite. He was a person that was straightforward, a person that was bold, a person that was outspoken. When the lawyer came to him and said, good master, such and such, Jesus said, thou hypocrite. Said, why do you tempt me? Thou hypocrite. See, we don't want to be a hypocrite. When you don't live for God, you are a hypocrite. When you don't have the righteousness of Christ, and you profess as the Jews did, the high standards of godliness, then you are a hypocrite. When you're not living for God and doing everything possible within your power to live an overcoming life and to be clean in the sight of God, thou art a hypocrite. A person that's not a hypocrite is a person that's out yonder in the world that's cold and don't know God. They don't know anything about God. They don't understand anything about godliness. And the Bible said they're cold, and God has given mercy in the blood on the seat of atonement to where they can have a chance to repent of their sins and come to God. And then there are those that are holy and godly that serve God with great fervency that makes great effort to be clean and holy in the sight of God. And they do everything possible in their heart and in their mind to cast down imagination and every evil thought or every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. They do this. They try hard to do this. These are those that love God. These are what the Bible refers to as being fervent in the Spirit, hot in the Spirit. These are great people in the sight of God. These people are considered clean people because the blood atones for these people. But even with all of their efforts, even with all of their doings, they're still dirty and filthy as filthy rags in His sight, except for the application of the blood. Except for that which man is doing, in God, he is losing out altogether. And unless the blood is applied to his heart, unless the grace of God is upon him and the glory of God is upon him from the works of Calvary, he's still unclean. He's still unclean with all of his fasting, with all of his praying. The Jews fasted and prayed and said, wherefore is it that you will not hear my prayer? Why is it that we're fasting and you don't take any knowledge? God said, away with that. There is no righteousness in those kind of things. What good does it do God for you to do without food for 5 or 6 days or 15 or 20 days? What good is that to God? How does that make you any cleaner than you was to start with? Just because you've done without food, all you've got is an empty tummy and you're just hungry. That's all. You're no more righteous than you was to start with. What makes you or me to believe that we're righteous because we spend all night long on our knees praying? What's that got to do with it? If I holler all night long, if I scream all night long, if I lay in the altar as a minister and howl all night long, as the Bible tells me to do, What makes me think I'm any better in the morning than I was when I started that night? All I can find is I'm sleepy and I'm tired and I'm wore out. Probably hoarse from hollering. See, that doesn't make me one iota any better. But when the Spirit of God comes into my heart, when that inspiration comes into my heart, when that quickening comes into my heart, when that same Christ that come up from the dead comes into my heart, and I feel that exuberance, and I feel that stimulation, and I feel that purging and that cleansing, then my faith in God is registered. And by faith, God has cleansed and purified my heart. For the Bible said God purifies our heart by faith. Faith has brought His Spirit of purification into my spirit, and my spirit is cleansed and I'm holy because of His godly presence on the inside of me. So then, from the heart comes forth the issues of life. It is out of my heart that comes forth the thoughts that determines my future and my welfare. It is according to my thinking that I become what I need to become in God. My thoughts are the means while accusing or else excusing one another. My thoughts, Jesus said, from out of the heart comes forth evil thoughts of adultery and fornication. You don't have to go out here and intermingle by taking human bodies and throwing them together in union. All you've got to do is just think wrong and you're in trouble with God. All you've got to do is think one thought that's wrong and you're in trouble with God. The Bible said, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Folks, you can fast and fast and fast and fast, and when you get through fasting, the first thing that'll happen to you is the dirty, filthy thoughts will come to your mind. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, that couldn't be. You can pray and you can pray and you can pray all night long and all day long, but when you finish praying, the dirty, filthy thoughts will come to your mind. Somebody would say, that can't be. But did you know that Jesus, after many days of abstaining from food and after many days of praying, that the first thing that happened, the dirty, filthy thoughts of Lucifer came to his mind? And those dirty, filthy thoughts of doubt said, if thou be the Son of God, entered into his thoughts. If thou be the Son of God. Or he said, look at all of this and let me show you all of this. And if you'll just lust after this, if you'll just covet this, I'll give it to you. See, that means that we've got to battle. That means that we've got to get in touch with the Spirit. We've got to be filled with the Spirit. This thing up here don't ever think right. This old brain of yours, this head, that is, it don't never think right. Your thoughts are continually evil from the time that you're born into the world until the time that you go out of this world. But ain't you glad that God has looked down inside of the heart and that God has filled you with the Holy Ghost, which is the Spirit of cleanliness, with the Spirit of Christ, and God by His Spirit has sealed your spirit that it cannot think one evil thought? For out of the heart comes forth thoughts of adultery and thoughts of fornication. And the Bible said thoughts of blasphemy. And this is that defileth a man. You know, Jesus preaching to the Jews was always talking about their fasting and their ritualistics and whatever. Whereas it's not wrong, it's not bad to fast and pray. That's great, but that is not to be your righteousness. That is not what you are to build your faith upon. That is not what you are to look to. You are to place your faith in the righteousness of the Son of God and in the Word of God and in the works of God. A lot of times you hear me pray like this. If I'm praying for Brother Taylor, I'll say, God, forgive my sins. And I'll say, God, forgive Brother Taylor's sins. And I'll say, God, by the righteousness of your Son Jesus, heal this person, God. You know why I do that? Because I know that I have no righteousness of my own. And I know that Brother Taylor has no righteousness of his own. And I know that Jesus is sinless. And I know that if God gives me anything, He'll give it to me through the righteousness of the Son of God. So I say, Father, by the righteousness of your Son Jesus, heal this person. And I'm believing that they're going to be healed. I'm believing that God's going to do it.
You know why? Because he cannot deny Christ anything. The Bible said Christ alone is heir to the glory of God, and Christ in me is my hope of that glory that he's heir to. So then he isn't going to deny Christ anything. If I pray, God heal him, Lord I heal him, I'll get all kind of thoughts up here. I'll get all kind of doubts up here. I'll have a repercussion up here. I can't ask in faith without wavering. See, because I'm dependent upon my ability. I'm dependent upon the man's ability that I'm praying for. But friend, when I pray for somebody and I am dependent upon the righteousness of Jesus Christ, I don't waver. When I say, God, in the name of your son Jesus, according to his righteousness, heal this person, I am fully confident that God did exactly what I asked him to do. No reason for him not to, because there's no reason to stop. No reason for God to draw back. I ask him through a clear channel. I ask him through a clear channel. There are radio stations in the world. We preached of them. Some of these are what they call clear channel stations. They reach out for many, many miles and nothing seems to stop them. Some of these are not clear channel stations, and there is a static all the time, an interference. You can't ever tell what's coming through. It's more like a gobble. You know, but when you hear that sure sound, then you can tell that's clear channel. When you talk to God through Christ, and you believe through Christ, then you got a clear channel. And this is why Mark said, don't doubt in your heart. If thou can ask in faith, nothing wavering, don't doubt in your heart. He said, say what you will, and it'll come to pass. He said, just ask what you will, and I'll do it. Decree a thing in your heart, he said, and it will come to pass. Ask through that clear channel. Get you a clear channel. See, the Bible said, if I do these things that please God, if I do fast, if I do pray, if I do give, if I do go to church, if I don't gossip, if I don't backbite, if I don't do the things that's wrong in this world, so far as man's definition of what is good and what is not good, if I withdraw from the things of this world and I try to conform to the Word of God to the best that I know how to do, then hereby I assure my heart. Hereby I assure my heart. The heart is desperately wicked above all things. Who can know it? And faith is in the heart. You'll never get a man delivered by praying for the man from an intellectual conviction of believing. You've got to believe from your heart. And you'll never get a man healed by trusting in your ability of how much you fasted and prayed. God will never heal anybody like that. Not one person will ever be healed in all of your life. He won't hear your prayer and fasting as it was with the Jews. He said, you've got self-righteousness. I don't care how much you fast and pray. He said, that's self-righteousness. He said, you've got to have a righteousness that will excel that kind of righteousness, that pharisaical righteousness. And you've got to have the righteousness of Christ, which does excel that kind of righteousness. You've got to have the righteousness which is of God, to be able to get over the righteousness of self-righteousness and have a sure foundation for your faith. Faith cometh by the righteousness of God. That is, faith cometh by the Word of God. And in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was Spirit, and the Word is Spirit, and the Word was made the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is made flesh in your life. And according to the measure of that Word, so is the measure of your faith. Because that Word is your righteousness, even Christ Jesus. So then, according to that faith, the disciples said, Lord, increase our faith. Jesus said, if you had the faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could move a mountain. So I decree a thing in my heart. What must I do? Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, I tried to believe and I just can't believe. No, what it is, you tried to believe and you found yourself believing, but you didn't get what you wanted because you wavered while you believed. Now let's just use an application. I'm going to head out to Atlanta, Georgia, we would say. I'm going to leave the destination. I'm going to leave the place where I'm at. I'm going to a certain destination. So I leave. I get in my car. I crank it up. I start off. I drive 10 miles toward my destination. Now, can anyone deny that I'm well on my way? Can you say that I didn't go where I was planning to go? You certainly can if I go 10 miles and turn around and come back. You say, hey, fella, you didn't make it, did you? So I thought I'll try again. So I drive 20 miles. But then I get to Wavering and I think, well, I don't know. My tires might not work. My car might not make the trip. I might give out of gas. So I turn around and I come back. See, the Bible says that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of God. Not anything. For he is unstable in all of his ways. But if a man is not unstable, if a man is not double-minded, and if a man will get into his automobile and say, I'm going over to a certain destination, and he doesn't listen to the doubts, he doesn't listen to the troubling thoughts, he says, I don't care if the tires blow out, if the motor blows up or whatever, I'm going to take the chance somehow, I'm going to make it. If the car blows up, I'll get out and hitchhike. If I can't hitch, then I'll hike. That man's got a determination, and that man will get to where he's going. You couldn't stop him. That's what it takes, folks. That's what it takes. That's what faith is. When you want to believe God, you pick out what you're wanting. You decree that thing in your heart, and you say, now, Lord, you promised in your word by the righteousness of the Son of God. And I've done all I know to be righteous. And I know that I'm nothing in your sight. I'm depending on your righteousness. But I did all that I could to assure my heart, to where my heart wouldn't jump up and condemn me and say, thou hypocrite, you know that you're not doing this and you know that you're not doing that. I'll get all that out of the way. To where every time a thought comes to my mind and the devil starts harassing my mind, I can say, God, I've done my best at it. I might not have done what I was supposed to, but I made a genuine effort. And then I'll eliminate all those things. And then in my heart I'll say, in the righteousness of the Son of God, I said it, I believe it, it's going to be just that way. And ain't nothing going to change it. The Bible said, command thou me concerning the works of my hand. The way you command God is that Christ is the heir of the glory of God. And faith is that causes you to take hope of that glory. Faith is that takes hope of that glory. If I believe in Wavering, that is my faith. If I believe in the righteousness of the Son of God, that's Christ's faith. That's what we call anointed faith. If I believe according to the Pharisees and the scribes, if I believe according to the denominational ways of today, if I believe according to religious convictions and according to fasting and praying, that is my faith. That is human faith. And that faith is not adequate for the purpose, because that faith is a derivative of my righteousness, and my righteousness is not sufficient. But if I believe according to the righteousness of God, then there is no wavering, there is no breach, there is no break in my faith. My faith is in the righteousness of the Son of God. And there is nothing lacking in His righteousness that will cause me to be denied. That is the faith of the Son of God. If I can ask in His righteousness, ask without wavering, then that is Christ's faith. Because Christ's faith has never wavered. So then I say, God, I believe. I believe in the righteousness of the Son of God. I want this healing, God, by the righteousness of the Son of God. Hallelujah. I say, that's the way I want it. Like Peter, he looked at this man and he said, be healed. And then he said to them, said, don't look on us as though we did this by our own righteousness. He said, this is by the righteousness of the Son of God. This is by the righteousness of the Son of God. The Bible said Paul was preaching. And when Paul got in a big way of preaching, he turned around and he began to feel something, maybe through discernment. And as he began to feel something, he began to look at a fellow. And the Bible said he fastened his eyes on him. He kept watching that man. And Paul perceived that that man had faith to be healed. And he screamed out at him, be healed or stand on your feet. God has made you whole. Why did he do that? Because there was no breach. Paul felt that positive thing. He knew it couldn't fail. See, God's word cannot fail. There is no way that God's word can fail. When you don't get what you want, it isn't because God's word failed. It isn't because the word of God is in some weird sort of a manner that can't be understood. It's just the fact that you did not ask in faith, not wavering. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, I just didn't have any faith. I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that. Somebody says, well, I just didn't have any faith. I don't agree with that. See, you had enough faith to start to your destination, but not enough faith to complete your course. That's where you failed. You was weak in faith. You didn't have a strong, steadfast, positive, possessive faith that claimed the victory. See, it's just like Peter. When Peter started to walk on the water, Christ said, come to me, Peter. Peter said, now if that be the word, then let my faith register in it. He said, I'm the word. Go ahead and believe. So Peter jumped out on the water. He heard the voice. Faith come by hearing of the word. He jumped out on the water. He began to walk. He kept his faith right in the word. And then all of a sudden he looked down. And then the thoughts begin to come. Deep water. Restless water. Treacherous waves. Right here away from the boat. You're neither with him nor you're neither over here. You're right in the middle of this thing. And that moment, just that moment, as those few things entered Peter's mind, it killed that positive faith. And that faith that was powerful. That faith that made him a master. That faith that commanded God concerning the works of his hand. All of a sudden, it wasn't mind over matter as it was Christ's mind over matter in the beginning with Peter. It wasn't Christ's mind anymore. It was Peter's mind. It was that mind of the first birth. It was that infiltration of Lucifer and fear and frustration and doubt. See, and Peter lost his ability to be a master. He lost his ability to walk on the water. And Jesus said, wherefore didst thou doubt, O thou of little faith? You know what? Now, folks, I want you to think this over. Here you're walking on the water. I go down to the sea and I find you walking on the water. And just before you get to shore, here you are sinking. I say, O thou of little faith. O thou of little faith. Folks, if that's little faith, I guess we might as well confess we don't have no faith at all. If that was little faith, if a man could walk on the waters of the raging sea, and God said you're just a fellow of little faith, where in the world is the church of today? See, it means that there is something that we've got to understand. Is this thing a fairy tale? People have quoted this scripture for many years. But what good is it to have the scripture if it's not mixed with faith? The Bible said they had the word, but it was not mixed with faith. And it did not profit them that had it. But folks, I want to profit by faith. I want to utilize my ability in God. I want to utilize my faith. I want to believe to the end. So then I must have the faith of Christ. I must have the faith of Christ. See, Christ, the mind of Christ, the word of God, said, Peter, have faith. So he anchored his conviction, his thinking, he anchored it in the mind that spoke to him and the word that spoke to him. And he was a master and he walked on the water. He had the mind of Christ over matter, the mind that created all forms of matter. And there he was, a master. But all of a sudden he took his thoughts out of the mind of Christ, out of the word, and lent to his own understanding, whereas the Bible said, lean not to your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. He took his confidence out of the mind of Christ, got it into the mind of Peter, and down Peter went. That makes me to know something. That one minute you can be a master in believing, and the next minute you can be sinking in the water because of unbelief. So then faith works just as long as you believe. Somebody said, well, I believed it, Brother Pike. Why did it happen? Because, like I said, you started on your way, but you stopped in the middle of the stream. See, I am believing God. Every day of my life, I have to believe God. It takes tens of thousands of dollars for us to continue. Day after day, month after month, I don't try to figure it out. God said it. I believe it. I'm expecting God to move every day and meet my needs. I trust God every day. I wake up in the morning believing God. I go to bed at night believing God. I believe God through the day. I get up in the night. I pray believing God. Why? Because this is a uniform thing.
If you abide in me and my word abides in you, ask what you will, it'll be done unto you. I want to walk with God. If I walk in the flesh, then I can't please God because I'll have unbelief. But I'm not in the flesh because I am dead to the body, but the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am in the Spirit. I'm born to the Spirit. Therefore, I walk in the Spirit because I am born to the Spirit. And I am a spiritual man. I am a spiritual person. I think spiritually. You can't spend your time seeing how much money you can make. You can't spend your time seeing what a pretty boy you can be, a pretty girl you can be. You can't spend your time gossiping and backbiting and intellectually studying and reasoning. You can't spend your time with relatives and sitting around drinking coffee and eating cupcakes. You can't spend your time reading books and watching TV and all these kind of things and have the faith of Christ in your heart. You can't do it. There ain't no way. Brother, you got to be straight. You got to be clean. You got to be upright to the best of your ability. And then when you do all of that, say, Lord, my righteousness is as filthy rags. I'm trusting in the merits of the Son of God. But Father, I believe. I've done all I know to please you. And I believe. I don't believe you're going to deny me anything. I'm coming boldly before the throne of grace. I want to receive the help in the time of need that I need to receive. And I'm coming to you, Father, and I believe. I'm decreeing this thing in my heart. And God, it's going to happen, and ain't nobody going to talk me out of it. And my thoughts ain't going to talk me out of it. And my weird feelings ain't going to talk me out of it. Folks, I'm not what God wants me to be by my thinking. I am what God wants me to be by God's foreknowledge and God's thinking. So then what I think has nothing to do with it so far as what I am in God. I am God's by foreknowledge. I am God's by predestination. I'm God's according to election. I'm purged. I'm sanctified. I'm glorified. I'm clean. Purified forever. Because of Christ. But I don't get any of those benefits. And I don't receive any of those benefits unless I can believe in those things that He has appropriated for me. And my heart will not believe unless I put works with my faith. So then I said that to say this. For a long time I was confused over faith. In my early ministry for a number of years, I could not use faith because I was confused over faith. I tried it, but it wouldn't work. I said, God, what is it? I don't understand it. What's wrong with it? I said, the Bible's got to be right. It's just got to be right, that's all. I said, if the Bible ain't right, all of humanity is lost. All of the universe is nothing but a myth. I said, it's got to be right. What's wrong with me? And the Lord spoke to me and said, you remember the faith that Paul preached? And I thought, I remember the faith. He said, you remember how Paul said that this faith doesn't require any works? I thought, I remember that. But I thought, oh God, it won't work for me. And then he said, you remember the faith that James preached? And I thought, I remember. He said, but this faith did require works. And I thought, but God, faith is faith. It doesn't make any difference. They both was preaching the same kind of faith. It is true that they were. They were preaching the same kind of faith. And that faith is believing. But it depends on whether it is God faith or simple believing. Now, right here is where we differentiate. And I say this from my heart. Anything that is human reasoning is not faith. That is not faith. Faith cometh by the hearing of the Word of God. If it isn't by the Word of God, it is not faith. In the last days, some shall depart from the faith. That is, they'll depart from the Word of God. They'll be religious. They'll have doctrines of devils. They'll do all kinds of things. But they won't have faith because faith is by the Word of God. You have faith when you do what the Word of God says. You have faith when you believe in the Word of God. Believing what God said is faith. Believing the Word of God is faith. And if you believe the Word of God, you will do what the Word of God tells you to do. The child is known by his doing. If you don't do what the Word of God says, you don't believe the Word of God. And if you say that you do, you are a liar. Because if you believe, you will do what the Word of God says. The Bible said, show me your faith without doing anything about what the Word of God says or without your works. I'll show you my faith by what I do concerning the Word of God to fulfill His desire. So then the man is controlled by his believing. He does what he believes. So James in his faith was talking about human believing. He was talking about human believing. John said, do these things that please God, and then your heart will be confident toward the benefits of God. So he was talking about human faith. He said, your believing is dead without an inspiration, without a quickening. Your heart will not believe in God. Your heart will not be confident in God unless you do something toward God to let God know that you favor Him and you love Him. And in doing that, you get the feeling and the thoughts that God favors you. Because you do the things that please God, you get to thinking that God favors you. And this is human faith that requires your efforts to make it work. It takes that effort to believe in the finished works of Christ, whereas all of the things of God, all of the glory of God, everything that's given to you and I, everything that's given to the church, is through the faith of Christ. His faith in God, without wavering, brought him the treasures and made him heir to all of the kingdom. And then my faith in his love toward me, and in the atonement toward me, my faith in his appropriated funds that he received by his faith, that gives me the benefits that I need. Now remember, the Bible said that faith worketh by love. And I've said this before, and I want to repeat it tonight. A little child has faith in daddy and mother according to their love. If the mother and daddy love the little child enough to feed it, to care for it, to cuddle it, to give it food, to watch after it, the little child's confidence grows stronger in mother and daddy, which is its faith. Its faith takes hold of mother and daddy in the love and care that causes that confidence to work. It is the love of that parent that causes that faith to work, that gives that believing strength. Faith worketh by love. God is love. And I look toward God and I think God loves me so much He died for me. That makes me have faith, confidence. God loves me so much He's given me all things that pertain unto life. That makes me believe. I say God loves me so much He said nothing could separate me from His precious love. My faith gets stronger and stronger and stronger. So then as the preacher preaches to you the benefits of the living God and what God has done for you, let your faith increase. Let your faith be strengthened. Come boldly before the throne of grace, saying, God loves me. I belong to God. All of these things are mine. God gave these to me. Your faith becomes strong and you take hold of it. And the devil can't get in there and do anything against you. You've got to believe that God's for you. He that cometh to God, the Bible said he must believe that God is. That is, he must believe there is a God. And he must believe that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You can diligently seek God and you'll never get rewarded. But beloved friend, when you diligently seek God in confidence that God's going to reward you, not because of your diligence, but because of Christ's goodness, then you're going to get rewarded. You're going to get something and nothing can stop it. So then Jesus said, whatsoever things that you ask in prayer, said, don't doubt. Ask, don't doubt, you'll receive it. It's like when the prisoners was overseas. I prayed to God. I said, Lord, they've got families. They don't need to be over there. I prayed to God. I prayed to God one night. I prayed to God another night. I prayed to God another night. I prayed a number of nights to God until my confidence came up. When my confidence came into the right place, I said, God, them prisoners will be released and nothing will stop them from being released. They will be released. I told my brethren, I said,
those people will be released and they'll come home and every one of them will return. And the Bible said, don't doubt, you'll have whatsoever you say. And though some come against it and said, God told me different, I said, it has nothing to do with it. It'll happen. It happened. So then, it's whatever you want to do. It's whatever I want to do. If I say that thing, if it's the right thing to say, and I shouldn't be saying any things if it's not the right things to say. You say, what is the right things according to His will? If we ask anything according to His will, we know that He hears us. So then, what is His will? The devil will say, well, you asked, but you didn't ask according to His will. But see, here is God's will. He said, you ask and you receive not, because you ask amiss. That's not God's will. What is it? To consume it on your own lust. You're asking for your own ego. You're asking for your own pride. You're asking for your own desire. That's not God's will. But if you ask according to righteousness, ask according to God's desire. If you say, Lord, I need a new car. My old jalopy is about to break down. I've got to have a good car. I want a good car, Father, for the testimony. And the Bible said, you've given me all things that pertain unto life. I need good health for my life. I need a good automobile for my life. I need a good wife for my life. I need a good husband for my life. I need these things, God, to make me whole and healthy. I need my youth. I need my strength. I need to be able to have these things, God. And I'm asking in the name of Jesus that you give me all of these things. Whereas He's already given to you in Calvary. For the Bible said He's given you all things that pertain unto life. But by faith I'm partakers. So I say, Lord, I've heard about this. I've heard it preached about. I believe it. Now God, give me these things. I want them for your glory. I don't want them for any other reason. I'm not interested in having them for any other reason. I want to preach to the people. I'm not interested in bringing the people together to see how much money I can get out of them so that I can have personal things for myself. I want to win souls. I want to help individuals. I want to bring the people together to glorify God. And folks, they'll come together and they'll give you money. And they'll magnify you and they'll praise you and they'll lift you up. You know why they will do it? Because the preparation of man's heart is from God. And the Bible said, so shall men give into your bosom good measure, pressed down and running over. Because you believe God. Because you ask not amiss. You ask in His will. See, you didn't ask to consume it on your own design lust. You asked for the glory of God. You asked for the benefit of the people. You asked for the benefit of the kingdom. And I'm going to close in just a few minutes. So then, Mark said, if thou canst say in thine heart, and yet it's Jesus speaking, if thou canst say in thine heart to this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and don't doubt it, believe what you say. The Bible said that man shall have whatsoever he saith. I heard the Lord speak when I said that then. Did you hear Him speak? My sheep hear my voice. I heard Him speak real clear. I heard Him say, son, why are you preaching this tonight? Isn't it because that this is the moment of that which I showed you in Revelation as pertaining to the thing that happened down at the boat, the thing that you wanted to express to the people this morning didn't get to? The thing that happened down at the boat when this great power was walking along beside you? And when you tried to see it, that is to get into Revelation, that spirit entered into the body, which means the redemption of the body of the Christ coming in. He said, isn't this what that is about tonight? That when I said, if you say to that bridge to be gone, it will be gone. And just in the vision, I thought, along these lines, and already they're moving the bridge. It's been there for many years. And God showed me why they're moving it. And they're putting a skyway in the place of it. We say the heavenly way, taking the cross away, because it is a bridge that opens up at the cross. A lot of great things in Revelation, but just speaking of faith now, I heard the Lord speaking to me. See, if you say and don't doubt, I thought in the vision, I thought, oh my God, this is such an awesome thing. I did. I thought in the vision, I said, this is such an awesome thing. I have to be careful what I say. I have to be careful what I think. See, because when you become more like Jesus, as you're thinking, so you are. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is.
So decree a thing in your heart. Start believing in your heart. Start cleaning your heart up. Love the Lord with all of your heart. And believe with your heart. Not with your intellectual reasoning. But get the Scripture in your heart. In the day that you seek me with your whole heart, then shall you find me, saith the Lord. That is when the heart longs for the spiritual word, which is God, which is power. The gospel, the power of God unto salvation, unto healing, unto deliverance. When the heart longs as God, after God, like the heart does the water brook. Your hunger and your thirst after the righteousness of Christ Jesus. Then you shall be filled. So then, Mark said, if thou canst believe, if thou canst believe, that is, in thy heart, in thine heart. If thou canst believe, so don't doubt now. Don't doubt. Jesus said, wherefore didst thou doubt? Somebody said, well, I don't know about that now. Peter was doing a good job walking on the water, and I don't see where he doubted. But you can't say that, can you? You can't say that. Because the Bible emphatically states that he began to look at the waves, and the boisterous waves around him terrified him. You can't say he didn't doubt. What caused him to doubt? He got his mind off of the Word. The Bible said, trust in the Word with all of your heart. Give your whole heart to it. Trust in it. This was the thing that made God love David. David said, my ways don't please you, God. That is, I'm wretched. I know I'm wretched. He did things that the soul had never to depart out of his house. He said, I'm wretched. I know that my ways don't please you. He said, but God, I believe with all of my heart. I believe with all of my heart. You say it, I believe it. I believe it with all of my heart. I believe it, God. A man after God's own heart. He believed. He was a man of faith. A man of courage, perfect love that cast out fear. He said, I'll run through a troop and leap over a wall. God, you just say the word, I'm gone. Whatever you say, I believe it. See, this is why God loved Abraham. Abraham believed it. Whatever God said, Abraham believed it. Folks, why can't the people of Bethlehem believe? Why can't they believe? Jesus marveled at their unbelief. He stood there, God, in their midst. He said, I marvel. I marvel at your unbelief. Why can't we believe? Why can't we believe? You did run well. Who hindered you? That is to say, let's start to our destination. Let's make up our minds. Let's be sure before we start. And let's start out for God. And let's put forth that special effort. And let's don't stop. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. Yea and amen. Hallelujah. It's mine. That's exactly the way it is. Did you know that some of you people are going to lose your salvation? You're going to lose out with God. By the same token as to not continuing in faith to receive the things that you ask for and desire, you're going to lose your salvation by the same broken intervals between God, the object that you desire, eternal life, between eternal life and your faith. The broken intervals is going to take it away from you. See, get rid of your desires for the world. Get rid of your things that's in the world. Lay up your treasures in heaven. Fasten your mind on God. Go straight forward. Don't look back into Egypt. Say, I believe he's mine. I love him. He loves me. That settles it. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. Even Jesus said that to 1,000 generations. So if the Word is God and the Word was that to Elijah, a man of like passion, then what is God to this generation? Is he not the same? Paul said in his day, we are men of like passion. Elijah in his day, a man of like passion. Brother Pike in his day, a man of like passion. But the Bible said he believed. He prayed earnestly. And the Bible said, when you pray, believe. Folks, it doesn't matter how much you pray. If you don't believe, it won't happen. If you lay hands on the sick, you can pray for every sick person in here. Not going to get healed. But if you believe when you pray, it's like watching and praying. You must believe when you pray. When you pray, believe. And brother, you'll have whatever you want. You'll have whatever you want. You get down and you say, Lord, I need an income. I'm out of a job. I need an income. Oh God, give me an income. So you get up and 2 weeks goes by and you don't get a job. You know why? It wasn't because you didn't pray. It was because you didn't believe. See, but if you get down there and you say, oh God, I need a job. I got a family to take care of. I got to pay bills. Lord, I got to have this. God, I believe. And don't just say it with your lips, but with your heart, say, I believe. Glory to God, I thank you, Jesus. I'll be sitting here. He'll be by in a minute, or I know where to go. You're going to show me. I'm going to walk by faith because that job is mine. That income is mine. My need is met. Glory to God, I praise you for it. Don't wait. Don't go out there thinking, whenever I find it, I'm going to praise God. Whenever this thing comes to pass, I'm going to praise God. Don't do that. All of His promises are yea and amen. Get up and say, praise God. Hallelujah. Wife, the Lord just gave me a job. We'll be going to work right away. Believe that. It's settled. Like I said so many times, I needed a car. I got up off of my knees. I went into the front of the trailer. I needed a car bad. Strange state. Nobody to get it. No money. Not even for food. I prayed. And I prayed. And I prayed. I prayed till I was satisfied. When I was satisfied that I believed, then I went into the room and I said, Betty, the Lord just gave us a car, honey. I said, at last He gave it to us. Of course, my wife, she didn't doubt that because she believed in God and she believed in Christ in my life. She said, well, praise the Lord. Or that was her attitude. I said, all we've got to do now, I said, just waiting. It'll be on over. And I know it don't sound right, folks, but a man across town that was a retired builder that was in the Church of Christ, that was not in a Pentecostal church, came straight to my place and so help me God. He said, preacher, said, I come to buy you a car. Said, just go down there and pick it out and I'll pay for it. I went down there and picked me out a nice, beautiful coupe, not a junk. And he paid cash for it, and I drove my little car home. The same preacher that I testified to, that assembly of God, that same preacher, I said to him, I said, the Lord give me a car. And I'm sure he thought I was crazy. Because sometimes folks don't believe even though they are preachers. And he just kind of looked at me with a hollow expression. He didn't act like he didn't know what to say. I said, well, anyway, I praise the Lord for it. When I rode up in it the next day or the next day or two, you know, it really shook the people up, folks. It is that simple. It is that simple. I remember sitting in Brother Branham's meeting, and while I was sitting there, I fastened my eyes on the man of God, and I said in my heart, I said, William Branham, you will turn and speak to me in the name of Jesus Christ. You will do it. And he whirled just like that and turned around and said, right here, middle ways of the balcony, sitting right here in the red plaid shirt. Said, just pray and I'd call you out. Now, see, many multiplied times, hundreds of times, folks, maybe thousands of times, I've had to use my faith, still using my faith. Could have used it in many more ways, even for financial gain, and I refuse to do it. I know you can't get a hold of this, but this is the truth, so help me God. I've used my faith until things that have been given to me amounted to hundreds of thousands of dollars that I could have turned into ready cash, put it in my pocket, and much of this right here at Bethlehem never even touched. And never even touched the boats and the planes and whatever. And still, I could have put hundreds of thousands of dollars in my pocket and went on my way. But I refused to do it. I turned it away. I wouldn't receive it. I gave it back to them that brought it. See, faith is powerful. It will meet you every need. So then if thou canst decree a thing in thine heart, if you can ask in your heart, not doubt, you can have whatever you say. The faith that Paul preached needed no works. No works. The works was finished from the foundation of the world. That faith has already brought me the desires of my heart. Nothing I can say, nothing I can do, nothing I can add to it, nothing I can take away. It's all mine. All things are mine by the faith of Christ. So then, my faith in what He hath given, God hath given me through the faith of Christ, my faith mixed with a little effort will lay hold on those benefits that belong to me. So don't doubt when you do your little bit of works. Don't doubt as though you didn't do as much as another fellow and you're not as eligible as another fellow who did more works. Don't do that. But just look to God and say, Christ's faith makes up for my lack. All things are mine. I've done my best. I'm like the little Benny. The man spoke of the little Benny. I've done my best. Now, God, it's up to you to produce. And I'm going to say this, and I am going to close. A man came to Jesus, and Jesus was preaching. Walking along, he was preaching. And a man came to Jesus, and he said, Lord, said, my servant is at home, and said he's grievously tormented with a palsy. He's lying there sick. Jesus, preaching, talking to the multitudes, apparently turned and looked at him and said, I'll come over and heal him. And the man said, nay, Lord, nay. He said, I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof. Don't you see that humility? Don't you see he didn't come over and say, Lord, my servant is grievously tormented. I fasted 30 days. I'm a man that pays tithe of all I possess. Lord, the quicker you can get under my roof, the better. He didn't do that, did he? See, no self-righteousness at all. He just come over and he said, Jesus, said he's grievously tormented. He trusted in the compassion of the Lord. He trusted in the righteousness of the Lord. He trusted in the authority of the Lord. He humbled himself and said, now, Lord, this is a nobody speaking to a somebody. And I'm nothing. I'm not worthy for you to come over there under my roof. But now, if you'll just tell me, everything will be all right. I'll go back over there and my servant will be all right and we'll be happy once again. All you got to do is just speak the word to me, Lord. Just speak your word to me. Jesus marveled. Now, at one place, he marveled at their unbelief. Here, he marvels at this man's faith. And he turns around to the people and he said, I have not found so great faith, not in Israel. Oh, that is, he could have been saying, not in Jacob have I found this kind of faith whose name was changed to Israel. Or he could have said, in all of Israel. All of Israel. I've never found this kind of faith. The humility. See, the little woman that come to Jesus said, Lord, I need you to heal for me. Jesus said, I can't be giving the children's bread to dogs. She said, that's so, Lord. Said, I know that. But said, Lord, when the dogs are hungry, said they come to get the crumbs. That's all I'm asking. And Jesus just, it just, as we say humanly speaking, tore him up. He said, woman, great is thy faith. He said, just say whatever you want. That's all you got to do. See, I'm saying that to say this. The man returned, went back to his home, and the Bible said that the servant was healed. Another man came to Jesus and said, come and heal. Jesus said, don't doubt. Just believe. Don't doubt. Just believe. Now, I want to make a point here and I'm going to close. Don't doubt. Just believe. Just believe. And a lot of things we could say here that we won't. But don't doubt. Just believe. The man received the healing for his loved one. And the man was so sure of the word of God, he inquired of his servant. He said, when did the individual start to mend? Said it was about such and such a time during the day. At such and such a time. Said this is when it happened. He said, that's exactly the time when he said it right there. It happened right there. Now folks, I said that to say this. And I hope you can understand what I'm saying. I'm not discrediting anything because I believe in holiness. But tell me one thing. The man that Jesus marveled over, that is his faith. How many days did he fast? How many hours did he pray? What did he do to have such great and mighty faith? What did that man do other than humble his heart? There is no record where he'd done anything. He just said, Lord, I am a man under authority. I say to a fellow to go and he goes, which proves that you can have a business and tell people what to do and still have faith. Some folks feel like if you have a business or if you're a boss and you raise your voice to tell somebody something that you ain't qualified. You know, you have to go around and can't speak nothing. But he said, I say to this man, go and he goes. I say to another man, come and he comes. I'm a man of authority. So he said, in essence, oh, great man of authority, would you give me a word of commission? Jesus said, go thy way, it happened. Thank you, sir. And on his way he went, and it happened. This is what we've got to come to, folks. We've got to come to the righteousness of the Son of God, the faith of the Son of God. We've got to realize that this heart has got to be right, because it's with the heart that man believeth. I want you to stand with me. Try it sometimes. If you've never tried it, try it. You know, I've tried the faith of Jesus Christ. The Bible said, "Try me herewith, saith the Lord of hosts." Try me. Give me a chance. Try me. See if I'll not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you will not be able to receive. A lot of times there's a need, and somebody gets up like Brother Taylor, Brother Jimmy, or others. When they get up, they give you a chance. And somebody says, "I believe." They need $1,000. Take this dime and drop it in that offering bucket. "I believe. I'm a believer myself." And truthfully, you are. You believe in sowing sparingly, and so your faith is going to reward you. It's going to reward you sparingly. Somebody else says, "I believe." Drop $100 in that basket. "I believe. I ain't got it. But what I've got in my pocket, I got to pay something with it or whatever, but I believe God. And I'll do like the little widow. Before I'll even feed my own son, I'll put him on the altar for Christ." This is how Abraham found favor with God. "I'm going to give it, and I'm going to believe it." You say, "Oh, you can't do that, Brother Pike." I'm sorry, folks. You've come too late to tell me. I've done it probably hundreds of times. I've had my back to the wall when I needed tens of thousands of dollars. And maybe I'd have $2,000 or $3,000. And I'd say, "Betty, where can we give this $2,000 or $3,000 to help somebody to help in the gospel?" I said, "We've got to have $10,000. And they've got one way to get it, and that's believe God." And I'd say, and she'd tell me, or we'd find a place. We'd give it, that would make us broke. And then God would open the windows of heaven. Try me. Not only that, prayer, fasting, giving, whatever it might be, there's many multiplied ways of trying God. Many ways. Peter did it by walking on the water. He tried it. You know why there's no record of anybody else walking on the water like that? Because there is no record where anybody else tried to walk on the water when Jesus came present. Peter said, "If that's you, Lord, call me." He said, "Come on, Peter." He was the one that tried it. See, that's what makes the difference. I have people to say, "Well, God just don't do anything for me. His thing just don't work for me." It's because you haven't tried it. Somebody says, "Well, I have tried it." I'll guarantee you, there ain't a man that's ever tried anything by faith in God. True faith. That if that man was the right kind of fella, sincerely trying to do his best for God, there ain't never lived a man but what it didn't work. Never lived one but what it didn't work. And you know, the amazing thing about it is living in the days of grace. The rain is upon the unjust. And right at this time, people who are not living for God are getting healed. The rain is coming down on the unjust. God's love poured out on the drunkard and the harlot, to draw them with cords of love, to give them a chance to see that He is love, to stir their faith that it might work by His love to come to salvation. But if they don't respond, then they're put off with gifts. Maybe healing or whatever. That's all they ever get. Prosperity or whatever, that's all they ever get. So, I say that to you tonight. If you go away and you don't try your faith, you're not going to draw any benefits. It didn't profit them, though they had the word. It didn't profit them. The word to 1,000 generations. But it don't profit unless you believe. What we should do, folks, we should believe God for the miraculous. Believe God for everything. Don't doubt God at all. Believe Him for everything. There is nothing that's too hard for God. There is nothing that's too hard for God. People with missing legs, arms, eyes, crippled, bones having been taken out of their bodies by medical science. We should not let that stop us from believing. Because as God said to Moses, Moses said, slow of speech, not eloquent. God said, who made your voice? Who made man's voice, Moses?
Why do you complain? Why are you in unbelief? As to say, because I am not eloquent. See, we should believe God. God made our eyes. God made our legs. God made our arms. In the beginning, God created those things. God can still do the same thing today. God will still do the same thing today. But we as the body of Christ and we as the church have got to try God to give Him a chance. We've got to believe God. We've got to keep talking to God and talking to God and surrendering to God and conforming to God until these things actually arise in our heart as to say, my God, I believe it'll happen. And when something looms up in your soul and in your heart and screams out, my God, I know this sounds crazy, but my God, it'll happen. I know it'll happen. I just can feel it. I can tell it. Oh, my God, it's going to happen. See, that's faith, folks. Faith is not something you try to manufacture to convince yourself that it will happen. Faith, that's not something that you try to make yourself believe. Faith is something that you cannot doubt. That's faith. Faith is something that you cannot doubt. So then, do you want to do something for Jesus? Do I want to do something for Jesus? Somebody would say, but I'm a woman, Brother Pike. What's that got to do with it? Tell me, what is being a woman? What has that got to do with believing? I don't see what that has anything to do with it. Somebody would say, but I'm a little child. What's that got to do with it? The Bible said, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, God hath perfected praise. What has that got to do with it? Little Josiah's caught up to the throne. Powerful, great, overthrew the things of that day. Do you remember how a little king came to a throne? When in the days of Moses, they had hung a serpent on a tree, and that brought healing in Moses' day had been brought down to the day of this little king when he sat on the throne, and they had made a paganistic practice out of it, and they would go up to the groves and they would worship that serpent hanging on a pole. And this little king found out it displeased God. And God used the man of God in that day to tear down the groves and to tear down those things. He did that so that he could magnify Christ in the moment and in the hour. And that's what has taken place, folks. Calvary, the serpent hung on a tree. It was folded up and laid away. The Christ took it down and said, we're not under the law of Moses. We're not the seed of the serpent. Away with that. We are believers in Christ. We are children of God. Calvary is behind us. We're looking to Christ, the resurrection. He's our life. And when He, our life, appears, we shall appear in glory with Him. Or we'll be like Him. We should be appearing in glory now. We should be appearing in glory now. Jesus appeared in glory on the Mount of Transfiguration. We should be appearing in glory right now with Christ. From glory to glory, from revelation to revelation, from inspiration to inspiration, we come into the glory of God. Clean, holy, pure, undefiled hearts. By the washing of the water of regeneration, even the Spirit of God, by faith, coming into our hearts and purifying our heart by faith. God doing that. By faith, I receive eternal life. The glory from the kingdom of God within through the revelational understanding of Christ transformates my mind, translates my spirit, breaks through, coming into the outer veil and transfigures my body until my raiment glistens, until my face shines. Wisdom maketh a man's face to shine. If thou canst believe, why not believe? Has not God done away with the law? Didn't God break
the bonds of the law. Aren't you free from the law? I'm free from the law of Moses. I'm free from the law of gravity. I'm free from the laws of nature. I'm free from the compelling laws that hold me, that bind me, that make me relative to the earth. I'm free from that. See, and I am a quickening spirit, and I am born of God. And I've been translated into the kingdom, and I am one of them that dwell in heaven. I'm free. My mind is the mind of Christ over the form of matter that he has made, even over my body, to where I can command my body. As to memberships, as to dissolving, as to coming back into an image, as to disappearing. Isn't this what he wants you to be? Isn't this what he wants me to be? Isn't this what he hath made us in Christ Jesus? Why is it that we cannot believe? Why is it that we don't condition our hearts to believe? We should be able to do anything. We are God manifested in the flesh according to our measure and the degree of his blessing in our heart. Whereas Jesus being the full measure of the full stature, we're all ordained to that, even the perfect man. If we have power as mind over matter, should the blind eyes stop us? Should the deaf ears stop us? Should the lame, the missing limbs? Whatever, should that stop us? Should that hinder our faith? Should that make us stop believing? If it's mind over matter, and the matter is atomic particles, and it's God's mind over it, not Lucifer's scientific mind of knowledge, science falsely so-called, Paul said. Though they do have a mind over matter as Lucifer, the god of this world, to the extent of an educational dissolving and recomposing, they do change things around, being the prince of the atomic powers of the world. Oh, the prince of the powers that's in the air. But folks, we've got the mind of Christ that's supreme over there. The mind that made it, the real mind, is taken out of the hands of Satan. The kingdom of God is the atomic particles that's in the earth. Not only that which is spirit in heaven as to our heart, but the kingdoms of this world, the atomic particles, belong to God. They also are coming under the constraint of the mind. That is the mind of Christ over the form of matter. To do and to redo, to create, to restore. And the world and the earth is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, that they might take full control of the kingdoms of this world, that the kingdoms of this world might also be the kingdoms of our God, as it was in the original, in the origin. Let's lift our hands up together and let's close our eyes. Boys and girls, you can believe. Little boys and girls, you can believe. Just believe what Jesus said. Aged people, you can believe. You can believe. Just believe what Jesus said. Abraham was an aged man, but he rode a camel and won a battle. Noah was an aged man, but he built an ark. Even Armstrong of today, 94 years old, still believing, carrying on his ministry, strong and healthy. Young people, young men and women, you can believe. This is something that is given to everyone. Just faith, if thou canst believe. Jesus said, it don't matter to me, folks. Your righteousness is of me. If you're honestly trying and making an effort, if thou canst believe, you can have the desire of your heart. If thou canst believe. Now then I ask you the question, can you believe? He said, if thou canst believe. But then I asked the question, can you believe? They said, Jesus, would you do this for me? He said, do you believe? Oh, yes, I believe. Well, I'm no respected person according to your believing. Go on your way, you've got it. Sure. Do you believe? Somebody says, but Brother Pike, not me. Yes, you. Young one, aged one, if thou canst believe. Do you believe? Are you desiring something? Decree it in your heart. It'll come to pass. It's got to happen. It's got to happen. No way to stop it. It's got to happen. You say, but what if? Faith doesn't say, but what if? You say, but Brother Pike, faith doesn't say that. You say, well, some faith doesn't do that. You say, but somebody, but faith doesn't do that. Faith just says, hallelujah, amen, glory to God. all of your promises is yea and amen. So be it. I thank you, Lord. It's so wonderful that you considered me and gave it to me. I thank you, Lord. Faith calls those things that are not as though they are. And faith is the substance of the things that are hoped for. What are you longing for? What do you desire? Would you like to have it? What is that substance that your heart is desiring? What kind of thing is it? House, land, whatever. What is it? Faith is so sure that it is the substance that you hope for. If you can believe it, just say, praise God, that settles it. I got the faith, so that means I got the substance, because faith is that stands in the state of substance till substance comes around, because it's that sure. Faith is the substance of the things that you're hoping for. Faith is your evidence. It's your evidence of the things that has not come to you yet that you desire. Faith is the evidence that it belongs to you, that you will not fail to receive it. It's your proof. It's your evidence. When you get faith, you've got the substance. You've got the thing. It already belongs to you. No way it can fail. So tonight, without respect of person, listen to the Lord as he says, son, what would you like for me to do for you? What can I do for you? Blind Bartimaeus, what can I do for you? Oh Lord, that my eyes should be open. Jesus said, so be it. The leopard said, if thou will, thou canst. Jesus said, in that I can, I will. Somebody says, but not me. Faith doesn't say that. Faith says that I am perfected forever, because faith comes by hearing the word, and the word says God has perfected you forever. Faith says I'm perfect forever. God cannot deny me anything, because it's not me living, but it's his Christ. It's his Christ, the righteousness of God. He cannot deny me if I will believe. He said, but Brother Pike, what if I'm not good enough? That's the thing. See, if I go into the hospital, who must I pray for to be healed? If somebody comes up for me to pray for them in my prayer line, who must I pray for? I don't know who's righteous and who's not righteous. I don't know who lives good and who don't live good. I'm in a strange place. How then can I pray for anybody? I pray for them on these bases. If thou canst believe, then thou art righteous, because it is faith that purifies your heart. So I tell them the word and the love of God. And then when they believe, their hearts are purified. They're righteous. They're healed. God said so. Got to be like that. So I just pray that whosoever will. If thou canst believe, do you believe? Sure you believe. I believe. Let's just lift our hands, close our eyes, and let's believe. Now I want us to sing this little chorus together with our hands lifted up and our eyes closed. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only forget about your works now, forget about your past, forget about your problems, forget about whether or not you're going to be good enough in the future, forget about your thoughts. Jesus said, if thou canst believe, that's all it is. All things are possible. Only believe. Now let's think like this. Oh Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. All things are possible. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. Lord, I do believe. All things are possible. Possible to me. Now while you got your heads bowed, whatever you need, don't limit God. Is anything too hard for God? If he's God, then let him do it. If he can't do it, then forget him because he's not God. So then let him do it. What do you want, folks? You say, well, what can I believe, Brother Pike? Well, let me tell you a few things that you can believe. You can believe that because he lives, you live. You can believe because he's strong, you're strong. You can believe that he's given you all things that pertain unto life, health, money, wealth, whatever it is, peace, happiness, contentment, a good family. If it's your loved ones that needs help, you can believe. See, you can believe everything that the Word says. The Word says all things that pertain unto life. The Word says that he healeth all of our diseases, delivereth us out of all of our afflictions. The Word of the Lord, the same to a thousand generations. What can I believe? Believe the Word of God. What can I believe in the Word of God? That the blessing of the Lord maketh rich. And you don't have to be afraid of the sorrow that's going to follow, because it adds no sorrow. What can I believe? The Word of God said he'd make all of my beds in the time of my sickness. I don't have to worry about the doctor bills if I've created one. I just have to believe. The Bible says whatever I do will prosper. All I got to do is believe. And the Bible said ye shall be like a tree that's planted by the water. You'll bring forth your fruit in your season. And you don't have to worry about your leaves withering. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. The Bible said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, Lord. I'm with you always, even to the ends of the world. You can believe that. You can believe. How can that faith work? By the love of his promise. God so loved you that he gave you his promise, even his word, his son, as a sacrifice toward you unto all things that pertain unto life, even his son. If thou canst believe. If thou canst believe, do you believe? The man said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. I believe, help my unbelief. I believe. I believe. Do you believe? Do you believe? All you have to do is believe. You decree a thing in your heart, and it'll come to pass. Before we dismiss, I'm going to ask you to do this. I do this sometimes, and some of you are prospering, some of you being blessed. I know you're forgetting God at the time of it. So Joshua, tell them that when they go into Canaan, and I fed them to the full, and they're prospering. Beware lest they forget God and say, who is he that I should serve him? Because you can't serve God without prospering. Whatsoever that man doeth shall prosper. Somebody says, well, I just wish I could prosper. All I got to do is be a Christian. There ain't nothing you can do to keep from prospering. Whatever that man does will prosper. Somebody said, well, what do I need to get into? What kind of trade? It don't matter what it is. I've said so often, peddle peanuts, you'll prosper. Peddle peanut brittle, you'll still prosper. Church ain't got no business peddling it, but if you want to do it, that's fine. Make a living. But you decree a thing in your heart. Decree a thing in your heart. Just decree a thing in your heart. And tonight, I'll decree in my heart to believe with you in your decree. If you will decree a thing in your heart, I don't know who it would be. I don't know how many of you will do that. But I do know that God knows. And I'll decree a thing in my heart, and that is to believe with you in your decree. And I'll believe with you. And you believe with me. And you know what you'll do? You'll come back and you'll say, Brother Pike, so help me God, it happened, Brother Pike. Because it can't help but happen. It can't help but happen. Did you know that you're on this side of Calvary? Man is wondering if it's happened. And he's trying to figure out how to get it to happen. Folks, that's unbelief to start with. You've got to realize that the Word of God teaches that we already have everything. We're already in everything. We're already over everything. Unbelief is to try to believe that. Faith is when you can't doubt that. You love the Lord? Do you doubt what God said about it? I said, Sarah, why did you laugh? Did you doubt? Do you doubt what God said about it? We're children of God, folks. We believe to see. It's already ours. We're not trying to believe to get it. It's already ours. We're just trying to get our minds out of the fuddle so that we'll walk up to the bank and write the check, pick it up, and go home with it. It's already there. You just need the confidence to walk up to the bank and write the check. That's all. Boldly before the throne of grace that you might receive your help in the time of need. Praise God. While you've got your heads bowed, I'm going to ask Brother Ezekiel to come up and pray with you. While your heads are bowed, I want you to believe, folks. Believe. Give God a chance. Do something. Believe. Make an effort. Try me here with saith the Lord of all. See if I won't do what I told you. My brother Zeke comes to pray with you tonight. I want him to pray tonight that God will bless you. And I'm going to decree in my heart with you. And I want Brother John to decree with me. And Brother Zeke to decree with me. And you brethren that are ministers. And you brethren that love the Lord. And you sisters that are mothers in Israel. Children of God. That are the true church. That believes. I want you to decree with me. That every person that decrees. That God will give them the thing that they've decreed. In their heart. I want you to pray with me. If Zeke comes tonight to pray with you, I want you to do that. I see something in Brother Ezekiel being here tonight. Brother Lord was here with us this morning. Something great. Brother Zeke being here, I was thinking about today. The valley of dry bones. Can these bones live again? Can they live again? Oh, house of Israel, can you live again? How do you believe you can live again? If a man died, Job said, can he live again? I believe he can. I feel that living spirit already. I feel that anointing already. I feel that quickening as Zeke comes tonight. Brother Zeke.